How are we doing? That's good. Well, tonight's the last service without my parents. And my dad said to be ready for Sunday. Which means you might as well just get as comfortable as possible. If you got to bring a seat cushion, bring a seat cushion. Who knows? It's Sunday and he's got all time in the world. No, but they are eager and excited to come back. They've enjoyed their rest, but you know how my dad is. He doesn't like missing too many Sundays. But while we're getting ready for that, we have an incredible speaker in here tonight. And I'm really looking forward to it. And I know I had a couple teens ask me if we're going to class tonight, but we're not. I just feel like God wants you to be in here tonight, and you're going to listen, pay attention, and be responsive and receptive. And on top of that, I also get the night off for offering, and we're going to have a young man come up and do the offering later tonight. So that's going to be good. So I'm going to go ahead and pray and get it started. Father God, I just thank you for the service, Lord. I thank you that your presence is being ushered in, Lord God, the guidance of your spirit here, Lord. And we're just going to have a service that's just filled with you, and I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, stand your feet with us tonight. Let's get our praise on. Holy Spirit, take my hand now. Lead me out in the living water. You're the wellspring. You are stirring. You're the life for your sons and daughters. Eyes are open to the unseen, and my faith is rising within. Bless the Lord now. Sing it out loud. Come and give the Lord his glory. You're calling me to
river, and we'll never find. You turn it for good.
every battle you won. I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the one who has conquered it all. Now I can finally see it. You're teaching me how to receive it. So let all the striving cease, 'cause this is my victory.
when that song says, every time I open up my mouth, and then it talks about miracles breaking out and walls crashing down, how many of you actually understand the gravity of those words? When he says the power of life and death is in the tongue, it's not just saying that, hey, be careful and always speak life over things. There's things that the devil throws at you that you have to speak death over. You have to kill those things. So be mindful of what you say. Because those miracles that come out can either be miracles that bring God in and everything changes, or they can bring death in and everything changes. So I just wanted to put that in your heads and remind you. So we're going to step over into the announcements. So every Wednesday at 5 p.m., there's intercessory prayer. Any questions, see Mona Kearns. If you're interested and you think it's something that you want to do, find Mona, talk to her, see what it's about, and be a part. So we don't need any more greeters now. I was told that there was a bunch of you that decided to join over this past weekend, so praise God for that. The new members class is going to be March 13th from 9 to 12. The class is going to meet in the teen room, and there's a sign-up sheet on the table if you're not a member and you would like to be. Mark Dunphy is going to be joining us sometime in May, so be ready and be aware for that. So that's all the announcements, short and sweet. We're going to now let Mr. John Kearns do the offering, and the kids can go.
Praise the Lord. I've known for quite a while that I was doing this offering service here, and I had planned ahead, you know, like you should, to prepare. But today it was changed, so you know what? It's God, I guess. No, not I guess. It is God. All right. Where is your treasure? And where are you laying your treasures? Are you putting them in things of this earth, putting them in things in heaven? I don't want to call it a brat, but I would like to, I'm going to call myself a brat. If I want something, I'm there and I want it. I want it now. Amen, Melissa. Matthew 6:19 says, lay not for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, it kind of ministered to myself this week with that. I don't know, without going into any details, I'm pretty much a brat when it comes to some things. And I realized that I was wanting to lay my treasures where they shouldn't be laid. And, you know, everything's a growing opportunity. And this is not necessarily geared toward money. I mean, it is for this purpose, but if you're putting your time or anything into something other than God, then, you know, it's going to kind of come back to bite you. So, Roger, can we get the buckets, please? I guess I should have asked for that first because this was kind of short. God, I thank you for everything you do for us, God. I want you to move in our lives and let us know where our focus should be on, and should be on you and not of things of this earth, God. I pray that you touch every seed sown, every offering that's brought forth, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Supposed to announce this before, but I guess we're going to use our faith tonight. We are going to give an offering for Joe at the end of service and for his ministry, so just be ready and have your faith prepared for that. And without holding up any more time, we're going to go ahead and let the man of the hour take over and give us a word.
Praise the Lord. How many of you are glad to be here on a Thursday night? Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be with you, and it is my honor and privilege to be with you this evening. And I also have my beautiful wife with me, and I'm going to put her on the spot so she can yell at me later. But why don't you come and greet the congregation this evening? Why don't you give her a hand?
Well, we should all be able to say something for the Lord at any moment. The Bible says to be instant, in season and out of season. And I know God is faithful. And no matter what we experience, what we go through in life, he has a plan and he has a purpose. And we know that when we surrender and follow him and do things his way, he will work it out for our good. So I am thankful for that.
Amen. It is, I think, the first time I've ever preached for you guys, and for this church. I've preached in Kenton before in different places, but it is an honor to be here and to minister with this church, this congregation. And then I just want to give honor to the pastors of the house. Appreciate Pastor Philip and Pastor Regina. They're very good friends of mine. They have been through the thick and the thin of life together with us, and we went through a building project about the same time you guys were going through a building project, and it was so great to be able to collaborate, talk about stuff, sometimes just vent with one another about all the complications that go along with a building process. But it is such an honor to be in this new facility with you guys. And I just want to remind you, I know you already know this, but I want to remind you that this is a gift from God. And don't take it lightly. That God has blessed you with a facility, not just so you can come and meet, but so that you can use it to glorify him and invite people to come together with you. You know, it's not just your pastor's job to go catch lost sheep. It is your job as well. Amen? And you need to be out there working and out there bringing people in and working with them. I just encourage you to back up your pastors. You have great pastors who have a great heart. And I'm glad that they were able to get away. You know, every once in a while, we just need to get away and relax. How many can understand that, right? And so I was scheduled before, as you know, they were supposed to leave, and he was Pastor Phil was still going to have me in, and I just told him, I said, hey, I mean, if you're not going anywhere, then why don't I just come when you guys are gone, you know? And he's like, well, let me think about it. He got back with me, and so he set this date. And so it's just an honor to be with you, and I'm so glad about what God is doing in the midst of his people. You know, God is moving in Kenton, Ohio. God is moving in Cary, Ohio, where we're from. God is moving across this nation. Whether people realize it or not and take notice of it, he is moving. And sometimes when we see God do his biggest work, right before that moment is when it seems like everything is falling apart. And so I am telling you, I've been telling every church this whenever I go to minister, that we are living in the greatest times to be Christians. This is such an opportunity for the church. Do not allow the cares of this world to hinder you, to pull you down, to divert your focus off of Jesus Christ, but realize the opportunity that we have been given as the church. Because people are looking for something real. People are looking for hope. People are looking for peace right now. And we have peace. We have hope. And what we have is very real. Amen? And so I've just been telling every church I go to, and I continue to tell our church over and over again, this is the greatest time to be a Christian. We should be excited about serving the Lord, and we should be looking forward to what God is doing in this hour. Well, it was interesting to me that I'd never heard that last song you guys were singing this evening, and I really enjoyed it. And I just finished a series Sunday on authority, and we were singing, I Have Authority in Jesus Christ, and I was thinking about that, and as we were singing, I was thinking about how God has all authority in heaven and earth, and he has given us authority to demonstrate his power in the earth. And so I believe that this is the time, this is the moment to do that. And so if you have your Bible with you, I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts. We're going to start in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 19, and then we're going to go to Psalms, chapter 85. Psalms, chapter 85. But God put this word in my spirit, and I was praying about this service and asking him what he would have me minister to you. And I believe that this is a word, this is a now word, all right? This is a now word for this church. This is a now word that is God is doing something tonight. How many of you have ever been to church services and you've heard preachers, they just say, God is getting ready to do something. God is getting ready to do something. God is getting ready to do something. Get ready, get ready, get ready. God is getting, and you hear this, he's getting ready, right? Well, I want you to know that tonight he's already been preparing and he's already gotten ready, and tonight is the night that he's doing it. How many of you can believe that with me this evening? Amen? And so as I was praying about this, God brought this word to me and brought these scriptures to me. And I started studying them first, looking into what God wanted to say this evening. And then God brought to my remembrance something that your Pastor Phil has shared with me over and over again, that this is the church of the second mile. This is the church of the second mile. And so God told me this. He said, tonight I'm going to give them their second wind so they can run their second mile. And I want you to get a hold of this because, I feel the Holy Ghost in that right now. I'm going to say that again. God is giving you a second wind so that you can go your second mile. And here we find in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 19, it says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. But take notice of the second part. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. If you'd bow your heads with me, I'd like to pray. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity to minister your word, and I thank you for the anointing that you've placed upon my life. Now, God, I pray that you would help me to walk in that anointing, that way I can speak your words with power, and your words would move people this evening. Let us not only be hearers of this word, but let us be doers of this word. And as it goes forth, may it penetrate into our hearts and transform us. And God, by the demonstration of your power, may you seal this word in our hearts. Lord, I thank you for stamina right now being released. And by faith in your grace, I declare a newness, a renewed vigor into this congregation right now. We receive it from you and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Your second wind is the thought that I'm preaching to you this evening. And I want you to see this. Obviously, we know we need to repent of our sins. That means a turning away. It means to be converted or changed into. We are brand new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Do we understand what that term means, passed away? What do we say when someone dies? They passed away. So what you used to be is dead. It's very interesting to me. I've been guilty of it myself, but how often do we forget this in our Christian walk and we return to old manners and old ways, old habits, and most definitely old thinking? That's the biggest thing that gets us. We go to old thinking, old mindsets, yet Jesus Christ said it's dead. It's dead. It has passed away. And all things have become brand new. And so here we see that we have been converted and our sins have been blotted out by his precious blood. That means they don't exist anymore. And I understand and know that many of us live a life where we sinned in front of people and they still remember our sin. They still remember the things that we did wrong. And sometimes they like to remind us. But as a friend of mine always used to say, he would point to the pond that he was baptized in, or one would point to the pond and the other would point to the river he was baptized in. He said, you see that right there? That guy you're talking about, he was buried there. And he doesn't exist anymore. And I have been raised to a new life. And so we understand that at conversion, this is what happens. We have water baptism as a symbol of that. And I know that your pastors teach you good doctrine so you understand all of those things. But what I want you to grasp tonight is this, that sometimes we go through life and life becomes wearisome. Life gets hard and difficult, and we know that who we used to be is dead. We know the things that we used to do, we no longer have a desire to do. We don't act in those ways anymore. God has redeemed us. He has set us free, and we are brand new people in Jesus Christ. Yet all of a sudden, it seems like we hit a wall. All of a sudden, it seems like we are faced with trials and tribulations that we don't think we were prepared for. All of a sudden something strikes us in our life and it comes down into us, and all of the sudden in that moment of pressure, in that moment of frustration, there are old mindsets, old thoughts, and old responses that begin to rise up in us. We have to understand at that very moment God is doing a purification process within our life. Because you see, sometimes things get settled way down deep inside of us that we don't even know are there. And God allows the pressures of life to push those to the top so that he can skim them off and continue to purify us in our Christian walk. Brother John was testifying of it tonight when he was taking the offering. He called himself a brat. He can get bratty about things he wants, and he gets focused on things. That's just God purifying him and causing him to realize in his grace and in his mercy, saying, no, I don't want you to stay here, brother. I don't want you to stay here, sister, but I want you to come a little closer to me. Come up a little higher, because I'm doing a work in you. And I'm glorifying myself in you. You see, we don't like this part of the Christian life. We like the part where we get to shout and dance and run around and feel good and jump in church and everything's going great. We know that the victory is won because the battle is over. You see, we sang a lot of songs tonight about having victory. And we like to declare our victory after the battle's over. And we see that we've won. But what do we do in the midst of the battle? When it seems like all hell is assailing us, everything is coming at us, what do we do in the midst of that moment? We still declare victory. Why is that? Because the Bible teaches us that God knows the end from the beginning. He knew what we were going to face. He knew what we were going to go through. And he knew that on the other side of what we are, what's taking place in our life, he knew on the other side of that, we will be victorious. So we hold to this truth. But you see, God does something amazing in the midst of all of this. He gives us times of refreshing. Now, notice something here. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Here's a key point that we often forget in our Christian walk. It comes from the presence of the Lord. It doesn't come from us doing our due diligence. It doesn't come from us doing our Christian duty. It doesn't come from us participating in our little functions that we have. It doesn't come from even us reading the Bible or even going in prayer time if we're just doing it out of necessity, out of habit, and not really entering into the presence of God. You see, we can do all the things that we know to do, but they can become mundane in life, especially when we're going through a battle, especially when we're in a tough situation and we're frustrated and it just becomes habitual. We do it over and over and over again. We get up, we turn our YouVersion app on, and we read our devotional plan that day. And then do we ever ask ourselves, what did we just read and what did we get from it? Maybe some of us open up the Bible still. We read through that and we read those scriptures and then we go to our time of prayer and we put our time in. But is it just quantity time or is it quality time? Do you know that you were in the presence of God? I can tell you there have been times where I have done the habitual act. I just read my Bible and I pray because that's what I'm supposed to do. Have my things that God has spoken to me, and I do them every day. They're my customs. I do them every morning I get up. And sometimes it just becomes a habit. But thank God His Holy Spirit will remind me. Hey, you're reading my word, Joe. Not just some book. You're reading my word that I spoke to you. And you're also speaking to me. Don't just regurgitate some prayer over and over again. You're talking to your heavenly Father. And then there's been those moments where I knew I was in the presence of God and refreshing was surrounding me. I felt ready to take on the day. I felt renewed and ready to go. But then there's those moments when I know I need God, and because I've lived with God for a long time, I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and we've walked many miles together, I know how to get a hold of God. Yet there are moments, even when I know how to get a hold of God, I don't feel God. How many of you ever been there before? You see, that's just part of life. And you keep pressing and you keep pressing. And those of you who have been saved for a while, you know, you just stay the course. You keep pressing in. You keep pressing in. And you know that that time of refreshing is coming. You just have to hold on. But I'm here to tell you tonight from the Word of God that He's spoken to me that this is the moment of your second wind. You see, there are some of you in here tonight who've been pressing. You've been trusting God and you've been faithful. You haven't been just doing things out of habit. You really want to hear from God, but you haven't heard anything yet. You haven't felt anything yet. And you know He's there even though you can't feel Him because you've held by faith. You say, God, I will not give up. I won't turn to the left or the right, but I'm marching on with You. But I'm telling you, God, it's starting to get hard. I can tell you, I've been there myself. Pastors really go through it sometimes. Just got a call from a friend of mine today telling me and sharing to me some hardships and things that he's facing as a pastor. And it can seem like that the end of it is getting hard and you're pushing through. I was thinking about this as I was studying and praying, and God brought back to my memory athletics and sports that I played. And I don't know if any of you in here have ever been a runner or have ever participated in endurance sports, but what happens sometimes, especially for marathon runners or long-distance runners, now that was not me. You can tell by looking at me, I wasn't a marathon runner. All right. But in the middle of the race, they hit something that's called the wall. I can understand it because I was a wrestler, and so sometimes in the middle of the match when it was going three periods, you would hit the wall. You felt like you had no energy left, no strength. I've literally had to open up my hands before because I was holding a pinning combination for so long or holding a hold so long that my grip, it was stuck closed, and I've had to pry my hand. My body gets weary. Runners do the same thing. Their body gets weary. It starts to ache. You start to feel every pain that you're going through. And sometimes that's how life is. We know that there is a finish line, and we've trained and made ready and prepared ourselves for that. And we also know we can get to that finish line, but in the midst of life's race, we feel like we've hit a wall. And any good athlete will tell you when that happens, you just push through it. You have to be mentally tough. You have to tell yourself that you're capable because you have prepared for it. I'm here to tell you that spiritually right now, some of you have felt like you've hit the wall. You're going nowhere. You don't understand what's taking place in your life, and you've hit this wall. And you said, no, I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I'm pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pushing through, but it's really getting hard, God. And I'm calling out to You, God. I need help. And the Spirit of God is here to tell you tonight that this is your moment of refreshing. That God is blowing a wind into this building right now, spiritually, and He's refreshing your soul so that you can keep going. Because what they call that then in the athletic world is they call it your second wind. And all of a sudden, you were in the midst of this pain. You were hurting so bad, but you just kept going. You kept putting one foot in front of the other. You kept struggling along, knowing that by faith, God will move. And all of a sudden, how many know God works in suddenlies? All of a sudden, that wind of refreshment comes, and the stomach cramps dissipate, and the leg cramps go away. And everything starts working again in full capacity. And you begin to realize, hey, that doesn't hurt anymore. It's a freeing experience if you've ever had it happen in your body before. All of a sudden, whatever was hurting just goes away. And you realize, I can continue and I will get to the finish line. By faith, I was declaring it before. I didn't know if I could, but I was declaring it by faith because Jesus said I could. But now, all of a sudden, I got into the presence of God. I felt His Holy Spirit come on me, and I know that I know that I know that I will see the end. It's a second wind. Now, I know I took some time setting that up, but I want you to see this. The times of refreshing, the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. The psalmist asked this question in Psalms chapter 85, verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? I want you to see something here. He didn't say, won't you revive us? He says, won't you revive us again? What does that mean? It means this. To be revived means to be brought back to life. That means that something was living, it died, and then it was brought back to life. That is the word revive. But for it to happen again means that something was living, it died, it was raised back to life, then it died again, and it was raised back to life again. You see, sometimes in this Christian walk, it's not that we aren't serving God. It's not that we aren't loving God with our whole heart. But what happens is by the cares of this world, we get lulled to sleep. And another reviving is a waking up of. And so God says, no, 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 you have fallen asleep. I revived you. I brought you from death to life. But now I'm going to wake you back up so you understand that you're still alive. So He says, I'll revive you again. Now, go with me. Let's see where I want to go. Let's go first of all to Romans chapter 13, verse 11. It says this, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is your salvation nearer than when we first believed. So restoring life is reviving, but also coming back to consciousness is reviving. And here we see that God's saying, I'm going to wake you up. Don't you realize that you're closer now? Don't you realize you've been running this race for a while? And yes, your body has gone to sleep and it hurts and it aches and you're going through all this frustration and all this pain. But don't you realize now that you're halfway home? You're getting through. And if you just keep going and you keep trusting me, keep your faith in me, I will get you to the end. So it's an awakening that we need. Now check this out. I'm going to take you on a trip real quick because I'm running out of time. In Genesis it says this, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We know that in creation, that's how people were made, and God breathed His breath into them. He blew a wind on them, and they came to life. But then we also know that sin entered in when Adam and Eve disobeyed, and it killed that spiritual life that they once had. But notice this in John chapter 20. The Bible says that Jesus was with the disciples. And it says, and He breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. What is this? This is a reviving of the human man. You see, God breathed life into us and we became living souls. But we sinned and messed up and our souls became dead unto God. And after, notice this, it was after that Jesus hung on the cross. It was after that Jesus shed his blood. It was after that Jesus paid the price for our sin that when he rose from the grave with that resurrection power, he met his disciples once again and he breathed breath on them just like God did at the beginning. What was he saying? He's saying now is the time for those souls of men that were dead unto God to be quickened and made alive once again because I have resurrection power in my body. And he breathed life into them. You see, it was a second wind. The first one was creation. The second one was the recreation of the soul of man. And they came alive unto God. Now notice this. In the institution of his church, in Acts chapter 2, it says, and suddenly, remember I told you God is in the business of the suddenly. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as what? As of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them clothing tongues like as of fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So not only did he take his 12 disciples, his 12 close followers and breathe on them, but after he ascended unto heaven, he said, wait in Jerusalem until the power of God will fall. And at that very moment, God himself breathed the church into existence. You see, he blew his breath upon them. And the church came alive. And the very Spirit of God filled each and every one of them. And with that came the power to do what the church is supposed to do. We understand and know this, and I believe that I'm preaching to many people who have even heard these passages of scriptures before. You know what the Bible says. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God is getting ready to blow a wind again. And he's doing it right now in Kenton, Ohio. You see, there have been cycles within his church ever since that day in the upper room in the book of Acts. He breathed the wind in and he brought the church to life. And there were times and seasons that the church would go and be living well and doing well, and all of a sudden things would enter in that were not of God, and they would begin to destroy the church and eat away at the church. Cancer would begin to eat away at the bones of the body of Christ. And it would seem like the church would die. Yet, in that very moment, God would rise up another leader within the church world. And God would blow his breath upon the church once again and would revive the church. Now, I want you to see some things here in the book of Ezekiel. Many of you know this. I know you know this story because I know your pastor. It says this. I'm just going to start reading in verse 7. I'm going to skip the entry because I think you guys know this, but I'll back it up to make sure you do. But it says this. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. This is what the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me as a pastor in this generation. We are called the body of Christ, are we not? And when we see God move in history, the first thing that we see take place is the reformation of the body. Let me just give you a little history lesson real quick. Remember, the Catholic Church, the universal church, is where everything was started from. And things started entering in and tainting the church. And it was a man called of God by the name of Martin Luther that did what? He started a reformation. Reformation. A reforming of the church. What happens is this, that when cancer comes in and begins to eat away at the bone, it deteriorates and then separates. And we see it time and time again in the body of Christ, where things come in and they deteriorate the body of Christ and the body separates. But then God will call men and women that are the remnant, that still love him, that are still serving him, the ones that are still running the race even when it hurts. And he will call them, say, no, you get that part back. You get that person back into the flock. You get that bone connected to the bone it's supposed to be. And you get the sinews back and you get the skin back and you reform the church. You reform the church. Just as God formed the body and breathed breath into it, he reforms the body of Christ at times and then once again breathes breath into it. And this is what I believe with all of my heart, that the things that we went through in 2020, and when I say we, I'm talking about the church world. The things that the church world went through in 2020 was an exposure of the cancer that was inside of the church world, so that we could understand and know that even though we were joining together every Sunday, we weren't really connected. You see, sometimes we look at hardship as the bad thing, but really it's the good thing that God is doing in us. And he's saying, look, I am getting ready and I'm reforming you. I had to expose it first. I had to show you where the break was. I had to show you where the disconnect was. Now you know where the disconnect is. Now you know what to do. I got to get connected. And that part is hard. That part is when you're pushing through. That's when the body aches, when it's growing together, when it's being reformed and reshaped in the pushing and the pressure and all of that. It's not fun, but it's needful. But what comes after the reformation? Well, let's read on. It says this. So I prophesied as he commanded me, verse 10. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. You see, there was breath, there was life, there was a body, everything was functioning. Then it died. God had to, in the reviving process, reform the body, bring it back together. But that's not enough. Do you know that we can come here every Sunday, every Thursday, we can join ourselves together, and if that's all we're doing, then all we are is a club. There's a second part that needs to happen. There has to be the blowing of the wind that we receive, and breath comes back to the body. I believe with all of my heart that this is the church of the second mile, because I've seen you demonstrate that before. I've seen you go a mile with someone and say, hey, I'm still with you. I'm going to go on. But in the process of doing that, it can get hard and get weary. Life happens. That's just the truth. Life happens. And although we are victorious through Jesus Christ, that doesn't mean we won't have a battle. What I've noticed in our generation is the mindset of the average Christian is, because I serve God, I won't have a battle. We don't say that, but isn't it how we react? Because as soon as the battle happens, but God, I don't understand this. I'm serving you. Yeah. We are going to have battles. No weapon formed against you shall prosper doesn't mean that there will be no weapon formed against you. It means that when it is formed against you, it will not prosper and overtake you. We are going to have fights. We are going to have battles. Those times are when the pressure comes on us and we are revealed some things that are in us that God's still working out of us. Those are wonderful times, even though they hurt, even though they are frustrating. They are wonderful times. But I'm here to tell you tonight that now is when God releases this prophetic word over you. That you have reformed yourself. When the enemy come and attacked, yes, for a moment, there were some of you that felt cut off, but others reached out and said, you're still part of us. Things did fall away. Even sometimes people will fall away. That's their decision, but God says, no, I still have a body in Kenton, Ohio, and you have held it together through the battle, and you are weary and you are worn out, but I'm telling you, I'm not finished with you yet. Yes, you are reformed. The body has come back together, but God says to you, he's blowing his breath on you right now, hallelujah, and you will be revived. And stand up and be a mighty army, says the Lord your God. Hallelujah. God is not finished with us in this hour. God is only getting ready to get started. Come on back up to the music. I've been trying to shut it down for at least 5 minutes now already. I'm telling you, God's saying that he's reviving us again. And he's giving us the second wind that we need so we can finish out the journey. Life is not always fun, but life is doable because Jesus is with us. Sometimes life is just flat out hard. My grandfather, who's with me this evening, been saved for over 60 years. 63 years he's been serving the Lord. He's been preaching the gospel for over 50 years, and he's been an ordained minister this year for 50 years. I've watched his life, and I've watched him uphold the standard of God and be the example. But I've also seen he had hardships. He had tough things come at him. But through it all, he said, that doesn't mean I quit on God. Because I know if I hold on, a second wind will come. A second wind will blow. And my spirit and my soul will be revived and I will carry on. I've heard him testify how he only had two boys. That's all he had. Two sons. No daughters. Both of them died. Which we would say, too soon. In their 50s, they passed away. We don't always understand what is going on in our life, but what I've heard him testify is say this, I don't know why, but I'll tell you one thing. I ain't gonna stop serving God, and I ain't gonna stop loving him. Because he's my only hope in this situation. I want to tell you, church, it doesn't matter what you're facing. It can be hard. But Jesus is with you because he said he'd never leave you and he'd never forsake you. You know, he knows what it's like to be forsaken. When he was hanging on the cross for you and I, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Could it be that he paid that price for us so we wouldn't have to be forsaken? If you stand to your feet this evening, I'm telling you, God is here. And I just know by the Spirit of God that some of you have been facing some stuff. Life gets hard sometimes. But the Holy Spirit says, tonight's the night. I'm just going to blow a fresh wind on you. I'm going to revive your spirit and your soul so you can carry on. Not so you can stop. It doesn't mean it's over. It means you're only halfway through. But that wall you feel that is in front of you is being knocked down. Can we sing that last song again? If that's you tonight, as they begin to sing and play, I want to invite you to come forward. You can kneel at the altar. If you need me to pray for you, I'll pray for you. But if God is speaking tonight and saying, this is you, my son. This is you, my daughter. Yes, you have been facing this, but I'm here tonight to blow on you a fresh wind, a fresh anointing, a fresh application of who I am. Because it is in his presence where the refreshing comes. It is in his presence where there is fullness of joy. Maybe you feel like you've lost your joy, and you need the joy of your salvation restored. If that's you, then come forward. But if you're just facing anything, I just encourage you, come forward tonight and seek the face of God.
Every battle you win.
Testimony that they can share with others about your healing ability. In Jesus' name we pray.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're watching on internet right now, that's you. I'm believing that God is moving in your life. And sometimes we just need to take a deep breath and let God settle our soul and our heart. And that's just what I feel like you need to do, is just trust in that word. Receive it by faith. Deliverance is coming right now. Hallelujah. deliverance is done. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I want to say sometimes when God moves, it's overwhelming. And then other times when God moves, it's just a little thing. But you know it was God. And all you have to do in that moment is hold on to that by faith and say, God did the work. I'm believing with all my heart, because I know what God told me to share with you, that you've got your second wind. And from this night forward, Pastor Phil is going to come and he's going to preach a 3-hour sermon on Sunday, because it's been a while since he preached. But you aren't going to be bothered by that at all. You're going to be on the edge of your seat because you got a second wind and you're ready to go. Amen. You're ready to go. Come on, Brother Philip, turn it back over to you.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Joe. Amen. Actually, while he was preaching that, my dad reminded me of something during service that I happened to miss at the beginning of service. And I just want to first apologize. It may not seem like a big thing to you, but the thing that I realized is to always make sure you reverence and give honor to the positions that are there. And I missed my opportunity to honor and reverence that, and I didn't call him pastor at the beginning of service. So you can laugh at me, but like, this was something that God had with me when I was an intern. And it's just to always honor and reverence where honor is due. Because if you honor them, then God comes and blesses you. So we have a few prayer requests, and then by faith we're going to give an offering, and then I'm going to pray for that offering, and you'll be released after that prayer is done. But we have just a few prayer requests here tonight. So Father God, I just thank you and I praise you for Steve and Sharon, though, Master, Lord God. I pray that as they battle COVID, because they have it, that their family is healed, Lord God, that as they go through this, Lord God, that they don't have to battle any of the struggles that come with it, Lord God, that you just touch them and you heal them as they go through this, Lord God, and they'll have no complications, Lord. It'll be an easy road, Lord God, and they'll be back in the house as soon as possible, Father. And Lord God, I just pray for Bob Hoover, Lord God, that he started radiation for his cancer yesterday, and Lord, I pray that as he goes through this journey, Lord God, that you're just right there with him, that you bring peace to him, Lord God, that you bring relief to his pain, Lord God, and that as he's going through it, that no matter how scary and how crazy it may look at times, Lord God, that he has the peace of you, of your love, your grace and mercy right there with him. And I just thank you for that, Lord God. And Lord, I pray for Amanda's father, Lord God. He's in the ER, and Lord, I pray that that you give him the ability to eat, Lord God. I pray that you ease the pain, Lord God, that you just bring in peace and you just ease that pain for him, Lord God. And I also pray that the mass in his body, Lord God, that it gets reduced, Lord God, that you just take it and you pull it out of his body, Lord God. And I just thank you and I praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, I believe that our faith has been stirred. I believe that the word of God that we've got, not just tonight, but the past few weeks, Lord God, has just been just right in order. And God's been setting us up to just go back at it and be ready for everything that comes in our way. So as they bring the buckets up, I'm going to pray over it. Then we'll bring the offering. You'll be dismissed. I pray you guys enjoy the rest of your weekend and come prepared for Sunday. If you got to bring your own chair in that's comfortable, bring it. But just be ready. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be strong. And mind you, he's had 2 weeks to prepare for you. So just be ready. Father God, I just thank you for this offering, Lord God. I thank you that as the seed is planted in Joe's ministry for us, Lord God, that it not only blooms in his ministry, Lord God, that it not only does great things for him, Lord God, but the people who give, Lord, that they're just overly and abundantly blessed through this. And I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.